Hello everyone, Lee here from FPL Family. Thought I'd give some quick insight into what I think is going right for Liverpool over the last five or six game weeks, because there has been a turning of the tide, hasn't there? But is it a false dawn? Are Liverpool actually back? Have we got the five clean sheets in a row now, four wins, one draw? Is that it now? Do we now need to go and invest back into Liverpool with that Bournemouth game coming up? Now, this is a kind of a podcast that I could have saved for a few weeks, because obviously Liverpool have got the blank coming up after the Bournemouth game. So those that have got Salah, if you've got Nunes, if you've got one of the defenders, listen, you're going to hold them for Bournemouth and then think about what you do with them over the blank game week. If you're planning to free hit in the blank game week, that's perfect, right? You can hold them and they can come back in after that. But if you're not, then you're probably not going to be buying ahead of Bournemouth because of that blank. But can you then invest in them going into game week 29, which is a double game week for Liverpool, as we know? Now, listen, on paper, that is a double game week that you would say is difficult, right? Man City away, Chelsea away, that is two difficult away games in a double game week. But what we have seen from Liverpool over the last few weeks is more propensity to get up for the big games, haven't we? It's interesting because, you know, home game against Everton a few weeks ago, I think it was Sean Dyche's first game, maybe a second game. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is just the worst game for Liverpool to go into. Didn't have much form to speak of at the time. I think we'd maybe got a clean sheet or two before that Everton game. But I wasn't massively confident going into it, given that Sean Dyche, I think actually it was his second game, because in the first game, he got a result at Arsenal. I was kind of sitting there thinking, this is going to be a challenging one. Then we won 2-0, good result. But it's as usual with Liverpool, it's what happens next. It's the follow-up, isn't it? It's the momentum. It's the rhythm that Klopp talks about so often. And of course, we went away to Crystal Palace after the Everton game and drew 0-0 in what was a pretty dreadful performance. If I remember rightly, Salah hit the underside of the bar, but that was about it. And to be fair, Crystal Palace held their own, created chances themselves, particularly from set pieces with Gehi and Anderson. And actually, it was kind of a bit of a drab performance. It was kind of midweek away at Palace. And it's, you know, that's where we are now with the 7-0 that we've just had against Manchester United. It's like, well, you know, an unbelievable result. And I know it's you know, messed with a lot of wildcarders, me included, right? I wildcarded this week and managed to drop about 50 or 60 points by not having Salah and Nunez and Ben White and a few others in my wild card. But listen, I don't think, well, I'm not, and I don't think you should beat yourself up too much. That is a freak result. Liverpool 7, Manchester United 0 is a freak result. 7-0 is a freak result any game week, right? For any team against any other team in the Premier League, 7-0 is a freak result. But for it to be against, you know, Liverpool against one of the form teams in the league right now, Manchester United, it ain't going to happen that often, right? We ain't going to get that too many times. So I wouldn't beat yourself up, wildcarders. It was the right decision. Well, you know, right or wrong, but for your team, presumably, it was for me the right decision to play my wildcard. Just the wrong outcome from a Salah and a Nunez perspective. But going back to Liverpool, it's kind of what happens next, right? It's, you know, the Bournemouth game up next. Is it going to be another damp squib like Crystal Palace away, or can we keep the momentum up? And I have to say, and I've been fairly negative. Have I been negative? I guess I have been a little bit negative about Liverpool earlier on this season. But I do genuinely think that a corner has been turned here. I genuinely do. And I think a lot of it is to do with some key players coming back from injury. All of a sudden, Klopp has some options, doesn't he, in that forward line? And I hate to kind of jump to the front three, because that's what the that's what the sort of social media will do. Where they'll immediately look at the front three, and I've already seen some narrative about whether you know, Gakpo, Darwin, and Salah is the new Mane, Firmino, Salah. You know, I have to say, as a bit of, you know, I think there's a bit of recency bias there, because they seem to be leaving out Luis Diaz, who was one of our best players earlier on this season. But obviously, a lot of the headlines will go to the front three. I'll talk about those in a second. Let me talk about where I think the key injuries that have come back that have made the difference. It's Konate at centre-half, made a massive difference, a big, big difference. And, you know, loving to pieces Joe Gomez, as I do with all Liverpool players, as you guys know. But he's had a difficult season, and he's not been the same, actually, for, I would say, a couple of years. And he actually got found out massively when Van Dijk was injured. I think he looks okay. He looks like a just about a Premier League level defender when Van Dijk's there alongside him. But when he's not, when Van Dijk hasn't been there in recent weeks because of his injury, and he's had to play with Matip, well, I was going to say or Konate, but he was injured as well, so probably with Matip, he looks half the defender, really, Joe Gomez. And on that side, other teams, the opposition, would target the Trent and Gomez side to great effect, right? The amount of goals that we conceded back post with crosses coming over from that side, misjudged by Gomez and maybe missed by Trent, really, really poor. So Konate being back is big. And actually, one of the things or one of the characteristics of Konate's game that I really like is his recovery pace. Joe Gomez is a very, very young player when he first came to Liverpool from Charlton Athletic. Wouldn't say he was ever rapid, but you could tell that he had a quick turn of pace. And then he had a couple of really bad knee injuries, well-documented bad knee injuries. And I just think that those injuries have really cost him that quick turn of pace, that acceleration. I think once he gets going and hits top speed, he's actually not too bad. But it's that initial 1 to 2, you know, 1.5 to 2 seconds off the blocks. It's that acceleration. Now, when you're Liverpool, when you're Klopp and you're playing in the style that we normally play with that high line, that high-risk football, that high-risk back four, we've seen it time and time again to great effect in recent seasons, right? It's won us the league a couple of years ago. But in recent seasons, you need that burst of acceleration. Now, I'm not convinced that Van Dijk has... I think he might have lost a little bit of it, but he just gets by because of his intelligence and his experience. Whereas Joe Gomez hasn't got... He's not as old, right? So he hasn't got the experience that Van Dijk has got. He's fundamentally not as good a defender as Van Dijk. And he's lost that bit of pace because of his knee injuries. So all of that combines to, frankly, I'm sorry to say, Joe Gomez, a little bit of an average defender, which in most other Premier League sides or in some other Premier League sides, that would be okay. He'd maybe get away with that. But in that Liverpool high-risk back four where you need that turn of pace, it's no good. So with Konate back, we've now got that weapon back. We've now got that weapon back in our armoury. The back four are able to play that high line to better effect because they know they've got defenders that can actually whip round and get that turn of pace and not be caught out by the counter-attack and be caught out with their offside trap. In actual fact, I noticed in the last couple of games, it's Van Dijk actually that's been caught a couple of times doing that. And I don't know whether opposition players fear him a little bit or they take the shot on early because they know they've got to do something a little bit different to beat, you know, Alisson, who probably, let's face it, one of our players of the year so far this season, been fantastic. So maybe Van Dijk has lost a little bit, but Konate is really good. He's a really, really good player. We saw it in the World Cup. He's probably the heir to the Van Dijk throne, isn't he? Because he's actually not that old, but he's got that turn of pace and it allows Liverpool to play that high line. Why is that important? Well, if you put Jordan Henderson's intensity back into that midfield, which we've started to see now in the last few games, he's been injured recently, hasn't he? And we've had to play, you know, Thiago there. Bacetic has come in and done a very good job in central defensive midfield. Having said that, Fabinho looked back to his best somewhat against Manchester United, which was good. But one good game doesn't mean that he's back all of a sudden. But that intensity that Jordan Henderson gives you, now that he seems to be fully recovered from whatever injury was plaguing him early on in the season and keeping him out of that starting 11, he's now able to get side to side and cover for those fullbacks like we've seen in previous seasons. That's giving Robertson and Trent more license to get forward. And against Manchester United, Robertson was a key weapon in the Arsenal, really, because he was able to get in and around and behind, most importantly, Anthony on that side. Anthony, they analysed it a bit on Match of the Day. Really not good from the Man United winger, really not good in terms of his positional sense and his not just ability to make recovery runs, but his desire to make recovery runs. It just wasn't there. And Dalot was being left horribly exposed by Robertson, as we saw on the first goal with Gakpo, right? So you're adding Henderson's intensity back into the midfield. You're adding Konate's turn of pace and acceleration and frankly, ability to read the game better than Gomez in that back line. All of a sudden, Liverpool's shape, Liverpool's character is starting to come back into that team a little bit. Now, listen, I think we've got a long way to go, but certainly even before the Manchester United game, we'd had four games back-to-back with clean sheets. Excuse me. And a lot of that coincided with Gomez coming out of the team and Konate coming back into it. And it coincided with Henderson coming back into that team. Now, you know, Henderson is no spring chicken anymore, right? So maybe it's only a matter of time potentially before... Well, I was going to say another injury. I don't want to say that. Maybe we see Klopp managing his minutes, right? Maybe we see him coming off on 60, 70 and Milner getting some minutes, or maybe Thiago comes back in. Or even now he's got some trust in Bacetic because he's done really well since he's come into the team. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Henderson going off a bit earlier in games and protecting him because, as we've seen in previous seasons, as we saw in the title-winning season, Henderson is really, really important to the way that Liverpool play and the freedom that he gives the fullbacks and ultimately the front three. Because when that unit works together in the way that we know it really can click. And it really did click against Manchester United. So there we go. I think Liverpool, if not back, certainly feels like a bit of a corner has been turned. The intensity was back in the game against Manchester United. Let's see whether we can follow that game up with another win against Bournemouth away next game week. Like I say, going to be difficult to bring any Liverpool players in FPL because of the blank. But starting in the double in game week 29, if you're planning to pop the wild card then, if you're planning to free hit in and around those game weeks, or even if you're not doing any of those two things, I think it's time to start thinking about which Liverpool asset to go to. Could it be that you go for Mo Salah? Well, I think we need to see how Harry Kane gets on over the next couple of games, how Erling Haaland shakes up over the next couple of games. It'd be very difficult to take Erling Haaland out with his EO, with his effective ownership. But to have him and Kane and Salah in your team, going to be difficult, isn't it, with the three premiums in there. So for me and my team, if I wanted Salah back, I'd probably have to sacrifice one of those front two. And at the moment, the way that Spurs are playing, with a little bit of a cloud over Conte and some of the other players and rhetoric around the club, it might be Harry that makes way. But listen, I've been there before. I've been burnt before by Harry, where I've taken him out this season. He continues to score goals, doesn't he? Incredible consistency, except for last game week. But listen, Forest at home this upcoming game week, so you're not going to transfer him out ahead of that. So yeah, Liverpool assets firmly on my radar. Probably going to just suck it up against the Bournemouth game and not bring any of them in, because I'll be giving myself a headache in game week 28. I'm not planning to free hit. I'm holding the free hit for later on this season. So maybe if that is your thinking, if you have got loads of Brighton, you've got some Man United, you've got a couple of Manchester City, and you are planning to free hit in game week 28, then absolutely my recommendation would be to bring in some Liverpool players for that Bournemouth game, because I think the corner's been turned. I think the intensity's there. Got a couple of key players coming back from injury, and all of a sudden Klopp's got some options in that front three. Gakpo playing well now, starting to settle into the side. Jota coming back, and I noticed for the first time in a long time, Luis Diaz back in training, which is going to be big. Going to be very difficult to pick which FPL asset you go for out of that little lot, but one thing's for sure, if you want a surety of starts, there ain't no drop in the great Mo Salah. So if you want to spend your money and spend that cash, splash the FPL cash on Mo Salah. He's the one that's going to get the start. So don't see him being dropped anytime soon, particularly if we go out the Champions League, which, listen, you never know. You never know with Liverpool in the Champions League, but it looks like we're going to go out that competition. So I would suggest that Mo is going to get pretty much as many minutes as any of those front three going forward towards now and the end of the season. All right, folks, that's it. Let me know on Twitter. Let me know on Slack if you're one of our Patreon followers. Or let me know in the comments in any of our YouTube videos. What do you think of Liverpool? Are we back? Is it a flash in the pan? Is this just a little bit of short-term form? Or am I right? Is that intensity back? Have we turned a bit of a corner? And let me know which Liverpool players you're going to be going for in double game week 29, if any. All right, guys. Cheers. Thanks for listening and speak to you soon.